Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's VIP Studio Visit. The Captain will be back starting the first week of May. To order your tickets before they are all sold out, go to HowieCarShow.com and click on the VIP tab. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, New England, to the Grace Curley Show, TGIF. Hope everyone's excited to go into the weekend. I know I am. You guys know I'm going to go to a restaurant, get myself a delicious meal of sorts, and probably enjoy a nice cold drink. And one thing that always makes me look forward to my evening cocktail is listening to Joe Biden speak. Just speak in general. You know, teleprompter, no teleprompter, whatever it is, he always manages to raise my blood pressure, because even though it makes my job far easier and he gives us a lot of sound, it still scares me. I mean, this guy is the leader of the free world, and that should have everyone quaking. Let's play Joe Biden. He was talking about, well, I'm going to let you try to decide who he's talking about. Cut one.
I also made clear to President Putin that the United States is unwavering in our support of our allies and partners in Europe.
President Clutin. Yeah, that was a little bit of a mix-up. The other story I want to talk about here, and I am going to get to your calls, I think people on this Friday, with the news of New Hampshire lifting their mask mandates, really want to talk about what they foresee happening. You know, will Massachusetts lift their mask mandate soon? Will this kind of catch on with other New England states? Or will private businesses keep telling people you can't come in here without a mask, just to virtue signal to the few Karens in the neighborhood? Because sometimes I think people figure, well, Karen's going to give us a harder time than the Republican normal person who lives down the street. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to get more, we're going to have to hear more if we anger Karen. But if we offend, or if we inconvenience the Trump supporters down the street, they'll probably still come in, they'll act normal. But if we inconvenience Karen, she'll be outside the store with a sign for days on end. And that's, I think, how they hedge their bets sometimes, these businesses. And I will get to your calls. I see you guys waiting there. We'll take more as the day goes on. 844-500-4242. But I have to talk about the unverified story that was pushed for months and months and months. No, I'm not talking about the Russia hoax, or not the first one, at least. I'm not talking about the Ukraine call. I'm not talking about the Atlantic story about losers and suckers. I'm not talking about Trump's phone call where he said, find the votes, that never happened. It did happen, but he didn't say that. I'm actually talking about the story about Russian bounties on American troops in the Middle East. And the reason I want to talk about this quickly here is because some of the sound is unbelievable. People have been going back, and These Democrats, they'll fall for everything. If they thought it was damaging to Trump, they ran with it. Hook, line, and sinker. No questions asked. So let's play here. Cut eight. This is
in our worldly today. President Trump dismissing the Russian bounty intelligence story as a hoax meant to damage him and Republicans. The president often touts his relationship with his Russian counterpart, Vladimir Putin.
The White House also responding tonight to a bombshell report accusing Russia of offering bounties to the Taliban to kill American soldiers in Afghanistan.
And now, you know, from this reporting in the New York Times, which has since been confirmed by the Wall Street Journal, that not only does the president know that Russia was paying for American soldiers' deaths.
Oh, it's been confirmed by the Wall Street Journal. What more do you need to know? It's good as gold, in my book. I love how Jake Tapper says he always touts his relationship with Vladimir Putin. First of all, Jake, get with the program. It's Vladimir Clutin. You sound like a moron. And second of all, it turns out Trump was right. Like 90% of the things that Trump says end up being true, but this one just feels so sweet because you know none of them are going to apologize. There will be no self-reflection. There will be no mea culpas, but hey, I can still play all the sound. And I want to read you guys here. This is a tweet from Adam Schiff. Americans are outraged by reports that Russia offered bounties on U.S. troops. The only American who isn't? Donald Trump. Trump is again taking the Kremlin side and calling it a hoax. It was a hoax. God, it never ceases to be frustrating. You know, and I know Trump doesn't expect an apology, but damn, does he deserve one from all these people. They just lie and lie, and they'll never, ever get in trouble. They'll never have to pay any sort of consequence because you know what? They keep doing it. They don't change their ways. Listen to Joy Reid today. She doesn't like Ron DeSantis. So she doesn't care if she just has to go out and throw out crazy ideas and smear him in the most despicable way. Cut five.
So the question for Gates, because obviously Greenberg has to give somebody bigger than him, that would be Gates. Here is at least, per the reporting, the people who were on that Bahamas trip. Notice if you see somebody's name that rings a couple of times. You had at least five women per Politico. You had Gates. You had a guy named Jason Pirazzolo, the hand surgeon and GOP fundraiser to Ron DeSantis, who apparently Gates wanted to turn into the Attorney General of Florida. There's Halsey Bashirs, a former state legislator and former appointed official in the DeSantis administration. If you're Ron DeSantis, does this feel like it's creeping closer to you? Because these are your friends. These are your allies.
You know who I feel like some bad stories are creeping closer to? And that I think Joy Reid would be extremely interested in some of these. There's actually a governor of a blue state. It's not super popular state. Not a lot of people know about it yet. But he's got, I think, either 10 or might be 11 sexual harassment allegations against him right now. That's just on top of how he mishandled the nursing home pandemic. But at one point, he even, besides the groping allegations and all that, he actually made one of his staffers learn the words to Danny Boy and sing it to him. Now, those stories, though, they must not be creeping close enough to Andrew Cuomo to spark Joy Reid's interest. She's really more into the conspiracy theory. She's into things that she has no evidence of. So she likes to throw that out there. I wonder if DeSantis is getting nervous. Probably not. You know, DeSantis is the governor of Florida. Florida's doing pretty good, Joy. I'll never get over the gall of these people. And the scary part is that other people watch it. Not a lot, though. I did see a story today about the ratings at CNN. Whew. And it does beg the question, as bad as some of these lies are, whether it's the Russian bounties or DeSantis or, you know, the 60-minute smear, as bad as they are, if no one's watching, it's the tree in the forest, you know? If no one's watching, does it really make a sound? If no one sees the smear, do you really smear the person? I don't know. Let's go to one call here, and then I'll take the other calls on the other side. Ken, you're next with Grace. You've been waiting a long time. Go ahead, Ken.
Yes, I was just basically asking a simple question as food for thought, which is where encourage you to seek out about oppression for others, such as the IDs and whatnot. Who's going to speak up about the masks and how people who are deaf often rely on reading lips, and you can't do that when everyone's wearing masks?
That's a really good point, Ken, and I never actually thought about that. I think there's a lot of people who need to be spoken up for right now. I think there's a lot of, and you know, it's another situation that you don't hear of as much, but it's definitely a problem, is that there's a lot of people with mental disabilities who, and whether it's autism or whatever it may be, who have really struggled with this time. I mean, the average person has struggled with this. A person who's, you know, just going to work every day and no longer goes to work. Those, you know, everyone's getting depressed in their own way. But for some people who really rely on routine every single day, this has been devastating for those people, and my heart breaks for them. I think that hopefully we're on the other side of this. Hopefully people start taking a stand. I know it's easy to say, but I'm depending on some of these small businesses to say, it's over, you know, wave the flag, take the mask off, wave it around and say, it's over. We're moving on up. We're moving on from this. And I remember when this thing first started, people would say, oh, it's so crazy. You know, we're going to be talking about this to our kids someday. Remember that? Remember that time period? The mail manager used to say to me, you'll be telling your kids there was this time where we all wore masks. And I was thinking to myself even then, I hope it's a distant memory. I hope I'm telling my kids there was a time where we all wore masks and I'm not putting a mask on my kid and saying, yeah, we've been doing this since before you were born. We'll take your calls on the other side. What do you guys think about this? We can talk about the mask. We can talk about the fake news. It is Friday. I like to take a lot of calls on Friday. 844-500-4242. Now, I've had my fair share of lunches during my time at the Howie Carr Radio Network. You guys probably have figured that. I've been here for all of the fabulous spreads. I always tweet them out to the listeners. So I can say this with confidence. Nothing beats Aviva Trattoria. Since the start of my show in January, Aviva Trattoria has catered a free lunch every other Friday here at the studio. Yeah, that's right. Free lunch. And it's so delicious. Every other week, two lucky listeners have an incredible meal by Aviva and watch the show with me in studio. It's such a fun time because they get in here and they think, oh, the big perk is that we get to watch the Grace Curley show. And then Aviva comes in with the food and I quickly start to play second fiddle to this amazing spread, whether it's the calamari, the tiramisu, the pizza. Jared loves the farmhouse pizza. And actually, I have to agree with you, Jared. It's become my favorite as well. Salad, everything is absolutely delicious. Marcy brings in so much great stuff for us. And I will be selecting the winner right now, but I want to give people a heads up before I select this winner. If you want to enter, you go to gracecurlyshow.com. It will drop down. You can't miss it. It drops right down to the middle of your screen. You enter your email. That's all you have to do. And if you want to check out Aviva Trattoria, you can go to one of their four convenient locations in Marlboro, Maynard, Wrentham, and Westford. Takeout is available too, but to enter to win the Aviva VIP lunch, go to gracecurlyshow.com, enter your email. Now, without further ado, it is time to pick the winner for next Friday when we have the Aviva lunch. The winner of the VIP Aviva Trattoria contest is Jody F. Congratulations, Jody. We look forward to having you and a guest in studio next week, and we'll send along the menu so you can pick out some of your favorites. We'll be back on the other side. People really want to talk about these masks, coronavirus. If you're in New England, do you think that we're heading towards freedom? And if you're in Florida or if you're in Texas, what are we missing? Let us know. What's it like? We'll be back on the other side. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
It really does look like winter here in New England. There's snow on the ground, but it will warm up eventually. I wonder if Greta Thunberg's going to call in and give us an update on this global warming that I see outside.
Not until everyone's vaccinated. She's not doing anything until vaccine equity. So.
Oh, I forgot. And you know what happens after everyone's vaccinated. They've already made it clear based off the CNN leaked tapes at Project Veritas. Climate change is coming back. Climate change is a real... it always fits in somewhere. Like, you know, it waits in the wings. It's patient. Climate change for liberals is that old friend who always has your back. You know, you need someone to help move your couch, call climate change. Always there for you. Doesn't have to be the star of the show all the time, but will step in when needed. Today's poll question is brought to you by J.J. Manning Auctioneers. From high-end homes to estates to commercial properties throughout New England, J.J. Manning can get your property sold fast and contingency-free. To learn more on how to get your property sold fast, contact Charlie Gill at jjmanning.com or call them today at 800-521-0111. Jerry Diglio, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Which New England state will be the last to drop the mask mandate? Connecticut, Maine, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, or Vermont?
It makes me so sad to say this because I want Massachusetts to open up, but I'm scared it's going to be us. Charlie Baker goes real slow. I'm going to say Massachusetts.
Massachusetts in the lead at 74%. Maine and Rhode Island are tied at 7%. Connecticut and Vermont tied at 6%.
Rhode Island's actually weird. Like they've gone faster than other states in some regards.
Yes, and Connecticut has lifted a lot of restrictions, but the mask mandate is still in.
I remember when I met with some of the kind of like my wedding coordinator, and she said to me, "Oh, I was asking her about, you know, obviously she probably gets these questions all the time, but I was asking, you know, has Baker's office reached out to any of the hospitality industry?" And she was talking to me about something, and she said, "Well, you know, it's looking good for this in this aspect, because what we do is Baker usually goes off of New York. So whatever New York's doing, Baker does." And I literally, Jared, I rolled my eyes so far into the back of my head. I said, "Oh, great. So now we're not only waiting on Baker, we're waiting on Cuomo. Kill me."
Hey, just six more accusers and stuff might start happening to distract from it.
Six more accusers. Well, I saw someone tweet this out. They said, you know, we're one accuser away from 150% capacity. And it's sad, but it's true. He's just doing things now. He's trying to distract the dogs from tearing him apart. You know what I mean? And the dogs being the press. He's like, okay. We'll open up. You know what, guys? You can go to the bathroom inside. How's that? Okay? Happy? And the damage to New York is done. Let's go to Nick. You're next with Grace. Go ahead, Nick.
How you doing, Grace? You know, I was thinking about the Supreme Court pack and stuff, and then I was thinking about the Supreme Court per se. What's the problem there? Well, it's a pervasive problem, not only with appointed people like that, but also the senators, also the congressional people, also the president himself. You know, when you're starting to go sociopathic and psychopathic, maybe in your 20s, you don't get better. Okay. In 1787 to 1789, we got the Constitution and establishment of the Supreme Court. The average age of white males who were running the show was 38 years old. Someone like Washington, who got inaugurated at 57, died at 67, was an anomaly, okay? So they didn't envision anybody saying, even in their 50s or 60s, becoming a congressman or a senator.
How about
or whatever. And certainly,
do you think they saw
right,
any...
exactly. So,
go ahead.
And you don't get better, you know, after 40, 50. You don't get better. There are some exceptions. You're going to have a lot of issues. So it was relative to their time. They had no idea what it was going to be in the future. They went with what they had. We had the benefit of hindsight of looking back. We don't need some of these people serving all those terms. We hear term limits. How about age? There should be maximum or minimum ages we have for the presidency.
Yeah, yeah. And Nick, that, it's called passing the torch. I think it was Cory Booker who said it at one point. And all the old people on stage were like, "How dare you? That's ageist." No, it's crazy. I mean, Ed Markey, Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, they're all ancient. And sadly, they're more sane, though, than the young people. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is there. Greg, really quick, you're next with Grace. Go ahead, Greg.
Hey, Grace. I love the show. You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
And I just shopped for the first time without a mask at Market Basket up in Seabrook.
Oh, what was it like, Greg? Tell us.
Oh, Mike, I didn't have to worry about glasses fogging up as I was looking at prices. And the odd thing is I was the only one, and it was crowded. Not one other person was maskless. I was kind of shocked.
Ugh, that bums me out, guys. If you're allowed to be maskless and you feel safe, then go maskless, because that's what we need. I remember one time I worked at a restaurant and the chef said, "There's going to be some arrogant customers and you got to smile so big that they can see the bleep you coming out of your mouth almost." Like, that's the attitude you have to have. When you take that mask off and all these Karens look at you, you gotta give them a big grin, a Cheshire cat grin. Because this, we care about the liberty thing, even though Dr. Fauci doesn't. We'll be back on the other side with Neil McCabe talking all about the fake news and Project Veritas. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. It is Friday, so we've been taking a lot of calls talking about the mask mandates and COVID. And we actually just had one caller who went into a Market Basket without his mask for the first time, and he said it was glorious. He was all alone. Everyone else had their masks on, but still, kudos. I'll go into a store and be the only one. I don't mind. I really don't mind. If they will let me in without the mask on, I will go inside of it. Now, let's shift gears here a little bit. I wanted to bring on Neil McCabe. One, because he always makes me laugh and it is Friday. But two, because he's a great person to ask about everything from Project Veritas to the Russian bounty fake news. And he's a reporter for, he's a political correspondent for the Tennessee Star. You can follow him on Twitter at Neil W. McCabe 2. Neil McCabe, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, great to be with you, Grace. Let's get after it.
Oh, thank you for quoting my favorite Chris Cuomo. Let's get after it, Neil. I want to start with James O'Keefe. You mentioned today on your Twitter, or maybe it was yesterday, I think you put this really well. You said James O'Keefe is infrastructure, and I couldn't put it any better myself.
Yeah.
Let's break this down for people. First, let's go over the story from CNN, because there was a lot of different stories. There was a lot of different elements to this. There was this guy, Charlie Chester. He went on a few dates with a girl. He did not realize that she was working for Project Veritas. She recorded him admitting that CNN is fake news, which we all know. But still, it was pretty jarring to hear some of the stuff he said. And then take us from there. What has happened in the last 24 hours?
Well, of course, you know, what's interesting about what Project Veritas does is it gets people, it exposes the private truth that's hidden by the public lie. And if there's any one constant in James O'Keefe's journalism going back, say, 15 years, it's that he's exposing the private lie, the private truth that's hidden by the public lie. And the public lie is that CNN is a news organization. And the truth is, it's a political organization that is tied to the left, and it will exploit and manipulate and do whatever it can to push its agenda, its political agenda, which is tied to the left. Now, since then, of course, Twitter has said, we're not going to allow James O'Keefe to be on Twitter anymore, which is absolutely absurd. They said that they accused him of running fake accounts, which, why would you run a fake account if you've got a million Twitter followers? It's insane, but there it is. And, you know, it's like you appeal. Well, what's the appeal? You're going to go to the Jack Dorsey court? And so what we're seeing now is, once again, that the left has now taken over the media to the point where they don't even pretend anymore. And if you start running up the score against the left, they will just deplatform you. And that's what they've done to James.
And one thing I noticed, Neil, about Twitter, and I know you're on there a lot too, it's hard enough to get a negative story trending about, let's say, CNN or MSNBC. Just because of the way their algorithm seems to be set up, they're constantly pumping stories that they want to trend. So if it's a negative story about Matt Gaetz, it will be trending. They don't tell you how many necessarily tweets are actually going on about it, but they'll put it on the list. They'll give you a little information about why it's trending. So the fact that James O'Keefe was still able to make news from this account and get people to see these videos, he already was going against the grain there. That was already hard enough. And so he must have really been scaring them if they felt that they had to take him off the platform completely.
Completely. And we've seen Project Veritas videos where they've literally taken retweets off his numbers. Like, they'll actually go backwards as he releases a viral video. But one of the things that James talks about all the time, and in fact, he wrote a book about it called Breakthrough, and that's Breakthrough. And that's when you have a story that is so solid and so damaging to the left or any institution that it breaks through your own sort of, every media organization, every media person has their own sort of echo chamber. Mm-hmm. But when you break through to the mainstream media so that the New York Times cannot ignore it. so that CNN cannot ignore it, so that, you know, papers in London can't ignore it. And that's what happened with the CNN story. Maybe the biggest story he ever did with Project Veritas is when they recorded the woman from ABC talking about how ABC spiked her Jeffrey Epstein story. You know, and that was all over the world. You just couldn't ignore it. And so faced with this CNN story, especially going after, you know, Matt Gaetz, you know, just as they're lining up Matt Gaetz for his public hanging, you know, CNN is exposed saying, yeah, it's all propaganda. We have to take down Gaetz because he's too good. It's just the world we live in. And if you had suggested this 3 years ago, 4 years ago, you'd be called some crazy kook, like a conspiracy theorist. But it's just now it is a reality that conservatives have to face with.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I'm speaking with Neil McCabe from the Tennessee Star. Neil, speaking of propaganda, now they have no problem suspending people or, you know, deleting people's accounts who run real news, who run real damaging news about corruption. I know Project Veritas did a lot of things on the border. They got a lot of photos out of the, I know we can't say kids in cages anymore. I will say migrant children in overflow facilities. And they had no problem kind of hiding and burying those stories. And then when you look at a story like the Russian bounty story, that was everywhere. I actually want to play for you a cut, Neil, and I want to get your reaction. This is an old cut. Let's do cut 12, please, Jared.
Despite those denials over and over, sources tell CNN that last week the U.S. even shared that intelligence with British officials, as some of the British troops would have been targeted as well.
Yeah, that to say nothing of putting bounties on American troops.
It's unbelievable, Joy. Yeah.
Public reporting that Russia had bounties on the heads of American soldiers. And you know what a bounty is? It's somebody puts a price on your head and they will pay it if you are killed.
Now, Neil, I know that Trump's never going to get an apology. He doesn't expect an apology from any of these people. But there has to be some sort of consequence for politicians and media outlets just running with complete bogus stories.
Right. So I expect the New York Times to run bogus stories, right? No one who from the New York Times who collected a Pulitzer Prize for reporting on the Russian collusion hoax ever gave their Pulitzer back. So that's they're tainted, they're burnt, they're useless. The Washington Post, of course, hyped this thing. Voice of America hyped this thing. Forbes, everyone jumped on. But the person I hold really personally responsible is Congresswoman Liz Cheney from Wyoming, who is the number three Republican in the House Republican leadership. She held a press conference back in June, and she kept throwing logs onto the fire, but she knew it was bogus then because she always hedged it with, quote, if the reporting is true. And it's like, so she knew that it was bogus, but she just kept hyping it, and yet she's still there. And she, of course, you know, she's guilty of a ton of other sins. But the bounty story was bogus. It was knocked down immediately by the White House. The White House held briefings with people telling him it was bogus, and yet they kept reporting it. And now finally, we find out that it was basically a detainee who thought if he told them a story that he could get better treatment, and that's basically what we have. And of course, let's not forget that President Trump and his military was directly responsible for killing more Russians than any other president ever, because U.S. troops went after Russian mercenaries in Syria. So if this guy is in league with the Russians, why is he killing more Russians than any other president who has ever been in the White House?
Right. Well, that's trying to break down the liberal logic where all roads lead to Putin, and none of it makes any sense. You actually have to bend your mind into a pretzel to try to understand. It's like Trump being
Grace.
Yes.
I wish Putin had run the midterms for the Republicans, because then they would have held the House and won the and the Senate, you know?
Well, right. And it's like anything else they accuse Trump of. None of it really makes any sense. I mean, he's racist, but black people had the lowest unemployment when he was president. He's anti-Semitic, but his daughter's Jewish and his son-in-law's Jewish. and his grandkids are Jewish. I mean, none of it really makes sense, but it makes sense to them because he's evil. And so everything kind of makes sense in that way. Now, speaking of Russia, I want to get your take here on Biden and how he's doing. I don't even know how many days we're into this. It feels like 1,000 days, but it's not. I want to get your take on how he's doing so far. And I think the perfect segue for that, Neil, is to talk a little bit about Putin, or should I say Clutin. This is cut one.
I think that the problem is that the Democrats and the left and their pals in the media have wanted to beat the drums. For some reason, they are obsessed with having a war with Russia. And we saw that in, why is it normal that, you know, when Barack Obama didn't tell the incoming Trump administration that he was going to dump a bunch of sanctions on Russia less than a month before he leaves office, right? So here we are back again. Biden and his team said that they were going to send two warships into the Black Sea to confront the Russians because they are lining up for an invasion of Ukraine. And Biden flinched. He didn't send the ships in, and now the Black Sea is closed. And so basically all of this talk has worked out to nothing. And so I would say it's pretty clear that if the Russians do roll into Ukraine, we are going to watch it happen. And it's going to be brutal. And I'm sorry for the people of the Ukraine who who are relying on the promises of Biden. But I think everyone now understands that whatever you might have thought of Donald Trump personally, no one wanted to go to war against Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And it looks like people all over the world can't wait for the chance to go to war against Biden.
Yeah, and you bring up a great point, and I've been reading a lot about that today because, you know, I don't pretend to be some sort of military mastermind, but I remember when Trump...
Oh, yes, you are great. Don't sell yourself short.
Maybe I am. Who knows? I got a lot of talents here. But I remember, Neil...
You're a military mastermind. Go ahead, please.
I remember when Trump dropped the first MOAB, I called my mom, and, you know, I was nervous. I didn't know. It was fairly early on in his presidency. And I said, Mom, what's stopping another country from dropping one of those on us? And my mom said, before Trump did that, nothing. Now they might think twice about it. Because he did have this unpredictability where you didn't know what he was going to do. And he wouldn't pick fights for no reason. And he wouldn't say things when he had the opportunity to say, oh yeah, we're doing well with them. Everything's going well. He would say that. The only time he would really start to, you know, use tough rhetoric was when he thought it was necessary. But Joe Biden's kind of the opposite. He has no problem saying that President Clinton or Putin is, you know, has no soul. And then when it actually push comes to shove, you know what? A great expression I saw, Neil, was Victor Davis Hanson. He said, in contrast, Biden often talks provocatively while carrying a twig. You know, they say, speak softly, carry a big stick. He's the opposite.
Yeah, and I think, just to pivot back into domestic politics, for 4 years we saw that Trump personally was not popular. And all the polls would say, his approval rating was always low. But people overwhelmingly agreed with his policies.
Right.
And you're seeing this great, Biden has these phenomenal approval ratings, but if you ask issue by issue, especially with the border, they are getting crushed. They had to fire their border czar, and they might have to fire more cabinet people. In fact, it's like Biden is now going to start rebuilding Trump's wall. That tells you that their internal numbers are absolutely tragic right now. And, it's the sad part is that we have to wait 3.5 years for Trump to come back.
Yeah, no, exactly. I'm on the same page, Neil. Neil, where can people follow you on Twitter and read all of your great work?
Please go to the Tennessee Star, which is the flagship of the constellation we call the Star News Network, and also go to Neil W. McCabe 2 on the Twitter.
All right, awesome. Thank you so much, Neil McCabe. Now, I have to let people know about a little secret here. Since I was in my early 20s, I have struggled a bit with acid reflux. If you don't know what that is, you're very lucky. This is when you eat ice cream, you drink coffee, and you just get this horrible kind of burn in your throat. It's very hard to sleep when you have it. And I was never going to give up anything I loved. I was never going to give up coffee or soda or ice cream or salsa or any of those things. So I needed to find a fix, and everything I found was short term. Nothing worked long term until I tried Balance 7. It's my one-stop shopping to help increase my energy levels, aid in digestion, heartburn, and so much more. Check out Balance7.com and learn why balancing your body is so important for the performance of your immune system. Simply drink a total of just 3 ounces a day, and within 72 hours, most people begin to have more energy, greater clarity of thought, and just feel healthier overall. I kind of felt it before the 72 hours. For me, it was pretty instant just because it really does help with the acid reflux, but for other people, 72 hours. Order your 1 month supply at balance7.com. Use code word GRACEFREE. It's all one word, GRACEFREE, to save $10 off your first order and get free shipping. Also, if you're one of the first 50 to purchase Balance 7, you'll receive Smooth Skin, an exfoliant and deep cleansing skin conditioner valued at $13.99, but you will get it for free. So to go over all of that again, there's a lot here. It's Balance 7. You order now. You receive $10 off your first order of a 30-day supply. You get free shipping and a chance to receive Smooth Skin. That's a lot of good stuff. So make sure you go to balance7.com. Use code word GRACEFREE. We'll be back on the other side. We'll take some of your calls, 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
I love a little Dolly Parton on Friday. It's just the best. Simply the best. We just talked to Neil McCabe from the Tennessee Star. He updated us on a lot of things, including Project Veritas. They have officially suspended James O'Keefe's account on Twitter. He was putting up a lot of videos of CNN, you know, an undercover date where Charlie Chester from CNN revealed several things. One, the one I found the most concerning is that he was rallying for the COVID death numbers. He even was concerned about that himself. But they took James O'Keefe off Twitter in a similar fashion to how they took the New York Post off Twitter. You know, you can't be too careful. You don't know. Nowadays, you really don't know what's Russian disinformation. Dan, you're next with Grace on The Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, Grace, I love you and I love your show.
Oh, thank you.
I just want to say something. Neil just said that we won't see Donald Trump again until 2024. And, you know, I also hear Howie, and I think you and other conservatives, talk about the midterms and how we have a good chance to really do well in the midterms, and then we can have Trump in 2024. I just don't understand. These elections were stolen, and you can't even mention that they were stolen without the liberal side of the news and the media, you know, talking about how these are false allegations. No one's investigating this fraud, as far as I know, and the liberals control everything, all the government, the media.
Yeah, but you know, Dan, I know Joe Biden's the president. I know that's not the outcome a lot of people wanted, but the best we can do is try to take back over in 2022. I know that's hard with what they're trying to do with HR1 and all that, but you can't give up. You got to get involved. We'll talk about this more on the other side. I didn't leave you a lot of time there. We'll be back with more news, including defunding the police and more Joe Biden. Don't go anywhere.